and receive and be made free with us today. Come and restore your heart and soul with us today. Hunger for the precious bread of life. Come all who thirst, drink of the living water. Come to God's life and be revived with us today. Come be transformed by the Lord of Lords with us today. Come worship with us as we lift the Savior up. Here at God's life, experience life in Christ. Experience life in Christ at God's Life.
Welcome to God's Life Christian Church here on the beaches of Kapalina in Oahu, Hawaii. This is an awesome time that God has brought us into this new year to demonstrate and to show us what He's saying concerning our continuing to live a holy life unto Him. So wherever you're watching or listening from, whether it's in the East Coast, the West Coast, the Isles of the Caribbean or the Pacific, the lands down under, we invite you to go with us to the throne of grace and pray for this word of truth. Father, we thank you. We're so excited and joyful, Lord, for opportunity to come near to you, Lord, and to hear what you would speak to us in this season. Father God, have your way concerning this word of truth. Holy living embraces. Hallelujah. Holy living embraces, Father God. It embraces a costly salvation. Father, thank you that Jesus paid a price we could not pay. And we thank you for helping us to follow in His footsteps, Lord God, and to pay, Lord God, the price, Father God, to demonstrate that we love you and we honor you, that we die to the flesh, we take up our cross, and we follow you continually. So we bless you for this word of truth. Use the man of God, Bishop Calvin Bethea, to minister this word, Father God, that holy living embraces a costly salvation. Thank you, Father God, for paying the price that we could not pay, that we might live a holy life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Well, as you know, we've been talking about holiness and the holiness of God and the holy living, and we're still talking about the holiness of God and holy living. Today, we want to touch on a subject, amen, glory to God, about holy living. And one of the things that show signs of holy living, we have looked at different things about holy living, different areas, different signs, and different proofs of holy living, glory to God. Today, we want to look at holy living in relationship to salvation and the salvation that we have in Christ. Hallelujah. So today, our title today is Holy Living Embraces a Costly Salvation. Holy living embraces a costly salvation. Amen. And so when I say a costly salvation, there is two types of salvation. There is a quote unquote a cheap salvation, and there is a costly salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So salvation is the most costly gift that one can receive, a gift that costs the ultimate price, the life of Jesus Christ. So while we can accept or receive this gift freely, we can receive this gift from Jesus freely, it demands a great deal from us in terms of how we choose to live our life afterwards. Amen. So salvation costs Jesus to make it freely available to us. And once we receive it, it will cause us to live it out or to maintain it in our lives. Because, see, genuine salvation will usually, it always radically change a person's life. So if there is no signs of this radical change in my life or your life, amen, then maybe we don't have what Christ died on the cross for us to receive. Amen. Remember now, Satan is not going to allow us to be saved and walk out this salvation. He have no desire that we experience the life more abundantly. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it how? More abundantly. The reason why I use in my title costly salvation, because some people can display what we term as a cheap salvation. See, so you have a costly salvation and you have a cheap salvation. I know some of you are saying, you know, how can salvation be cheap? Amen. Well, let's look and see. See, costly salvation will display the transforming power of having a genuine faith, a genuine experience in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. It is not enough to adopt a label of salvation. It's not enough to just call ourselves Christians and say that we're saved. We must actively engage in a lifestyle that reflects this change or this label or title that we're calling ourselves. So when we call ourselves Christians, there is a lifestyle that will prove that. There's a lifestyle that will cause people to know you have been changed. I have been changed. Hallelujah. So a costly salvation will cost us to maintain it. It is costly. It is a life salvation. In other words, a salvation that's lived out. Amen. Whereas a cheap salvation will cause us nothing to maintain it. It is costless. Amen. It's just a mild salvation. It's just a salvation that we say that we have. It's a salvation that we confess, but it's not necessary a salvation that can be proved by our lives. So cheap salvation is a life confessing without confessing forgiveness without requiring repentance. In other words, I can say that I've been forgiven, but at the same time, I don't show, amen, any repentance in my life. It's like baptism without spiritual discipline. I've been baptized, but I've been saved. I've been baptized, but you don't see any kind of spiritual discipline being displayed in my life. It's like communion without acknowledging Christ. It's like I can take communion just because I'm taking communion. I'm not taking communion because I'm doing it in remembrance of him. I'm doing it in remembrance of the one that died for my sins. Hallelujah. So cheap salvation is a salvation without discipleship. We don't do any type of we don't live a life that we will cause other people to see the change that's take place in our life, or cause other people or help other people with their Christian walk or change in their life. It is grace without the cross. In other words, having a life that is based on saying that I'm saved by grace, amen, but I don't really need the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us, amen, in our reference text to take up our cross and follow him. Amen. It is almost like grace without the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. In other words, having salvation, but I don't have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ working in my life. So if we don't have the cross of Jesus Christ, we don't have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our life, we are living what could be considered as a cheap salvation. Hallelujah. Whereas costly salvation is a life that confesses forgiveness by repentance, by living a life of repentance. It is is being baptized as a spiritual discipline. We are being baptized to let people know that we belong to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We take communion with the acknowledgement of Christ, that we take communion with an acknowledgement of this is his body broken for me. Amen. This is his blood shed for me. Costly salvation is a salvation with discipleship. It's a salvation that shows grace with the cross. Amen. And it's also a salvation that shows the resurrection power of Jesus Christ within our life. Amen. So, as I said, cheap salvation is just a mild salvation. I'm always talking about I'm a Christian. I can say that I'm a Christian. I can confess that I'm a Christian. I can do some Christian things. Amen. However, glory to God, it's a life that will cause our salvation to be costly. And so our message title is Holy Living Embraces a Costly Salvation. See, when you are pursuing a holy life in Christ, you have accepted the fact that in order for me to live holy, I'm going to have to embrace a salvation, amen, that's going to cost me something. Hallelujah. So as I said earlier, salvation is a gift. It's receiving salvation does not require us to pay for this salvation, amen, to receive it, but it comes with a responsibility to maintain it, amen, after we receive it. It comes with a responsibility to maintain our relationship with Christ. So this is what we refer to as costly salvation, amen. True salvation or costly salvation is marked by a genuine commitment to follow Christ, and it's reflected in our reference text in Luke, the 9th chapter. There in the 23rd verse. This is our reference text. Now look what it says now. This is where Jesus is urging his disciples and everybody else who was listening. This is what he said to them. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The other three gospels just say take up his cross. I like the one here in Luke because it says take up his cross daily and follow me. So this call to discipleship is not merely a suggestion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is a command that emphasizes the dual nature of salvation. First of all, while salvation is a gift, is a free gift from Christ, our commitment to live it out can be a demanding commitment. Hallelujah. So on the other hand, cheap salvation approach is characterized by a lack of an ongoing commitment. See, costly salvation requires commitment. Cheap salvation does not have a commitment, amen, and is also absent of any type of spiritual transformation in a person's life. So those who pursue a costless version of salvation often dismiss the exceptions of the expectations of discipleship and the need for a person to make personal sacrifices, amen. So this approach to the gift of salvation, what will happen, it will lead to spiritual complacency, where a person who is confessing salvation may never experience the abundant life, amen, that Jesus promised or that he died for. So only costly salvation, because of a pursuit of a holy life, will we experience the life that Jesus said that we are to experience, and we experience it more abundantly. Hallelujah. We don't experience it, we experience it more abundantly. When we look at 2 Timothy, if you look with me, amen, in the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse, amen, glory to God, 10th to the 12th verse, as I said earlier, there will be a demand on our life in order to live holy and experience this costly salvation or embrace this costly salvation. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in verse 10, it reads, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch, in Iconium, at Lystra, which persecution I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me." This is Paul writing, and he says, listen, I endured some things because of my costly salvation. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. In other words, he's saying, if you and I are going to embrace this costly salvation, is going to cost us something. It's going to cost a radical change in our life. It's going to be very demanding. But I need you to know, Paul assures us before he told us that we are going to experience persecution. He said, but God will deliver us out of all, as out of all of the challenges, out of all the suffering, out of all the persecution, God is going to deliver us. Why? Because we are pursuing the holy life and the costly salvation that he, amen, has asked us to live. Amen. See, God called us into holiness. See, holy living is an invitation from God to participate actively in the redemption work, a redemptive work that he has begun in us. In other words, God said, now I started this. I put my spirit in you. I put my Holy Ghost in you. Amen. Glory to God. So now you got got to now respond to what I have placed in you. So scriptures, when we look in the Bible, it's full with commands, amen, to live according to God's standards, not the world's standards, but according to God's standards. Amen. In 1 Peter, we read, amen, glory to God, and that was our reference text as in throughout this whole teaching, amen, that is the reference text. In 1 Peter, the first chapter in the 15th verse, amen, it commands us, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations. Amen. And then in the 16th verse, it says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, what this does is this is a call that reflects the cost of salvation. God letting us know that there's going to be a cost to us pursuing this holy life. Amen. It requires a shift in every area of our lives. Amen. We're going to have to change our priorities. We're going to have to change our values. We're going to have to adjust our conversation so that we speak in line with the will and the word of God. Amen. And we're going to have to change some behavior. There's some things about our life that's going to be changed if we embrace, amen, this costly salvation. Hallelujah. And we do that by living holy. Now, in everything that we get involved in or everything that we do, there is a cost to maintain it. Amen. So just as we maintain our relationships, whether it be our marriage, parent and children relationship, friendships, work, co-workers relationships, whatever relationships that we're in or whatever things we buy like cars and electronics and our homes, amen. Our spiritual life, just like these things, also requires upkeep. We just as we have to maintain, as I said, our relationships and things that we've purchased, we also going to have to maintain our spiritual lives. So to drive a car effectively, it's going to require some regular maintenance. Amen. Hallelujah. Otherwise, we risk the opportunity or the chance of it breaking down on us in a very, very untimely place or time. Amen. Hallelujah. So the same principles apply to relationships. Amen. In our relationships, in order for marriage to work as it should or function as it should, there has to be work. It has to be maintained. There's things that has to be done. Amen. And I can go on and list and so forth, just like a parent-child relationship. In order for that child to respect that parent, there are certain things that that parent have to do in that relationship to continue to get that respect. Just like in our friendships, in order to maintain our friendships, amen, with people, there are things we're going to have to do for that friendship to function properly. Amen. Hallelujah. So the same thing, glory to God, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ. When it comes, amen, to our relationship with him, the same principles applies to our relationship with God. So neglecting our spiritual health or neglecting our working and maintaining our relationship, it can result in a failure or in our walk with God. Hallelujah. So when it comes to our salvation, if we don't maintain our salvation, then we will not experience the abundant life that Jesus paid for us to experience. It doesn't cost us to get salvation. I said this earlier. It doesn't cost us to get it. For us, the price and the cost of salvation come in the maintaining it. So this is where we have to make an investment. We have to make a decision about our relationship with God. Hallelujah. And our investment is going to include prayer. It's going to include not just reading the Word of God, but studying the Word of God. Hallelujah. And then willing to obey, amen, what his word commands us to do. Amen. We must be an example by reading and studying his word and praying. We must begin to live a life that's an example to other Christians so that they can grow, as well as to the sinner who don't know God, that they, you know, they're looking for hope. They're trying to find hope. They're trying to find a way. So then we should be living in such a way that not only do we edify our brothers and our sisters, but we also reconcile sinners to Christ by people looking at our life and desiring to have what we have. And the way we do that is through evangelism. We share the gospel with the lost, and we encourage and edify those in the body of Christ with our testimonies, how God has worked in our life, how God has done things in our life, and we're able to let them know this too shall come to pass. Even in this, as Paul said, God is going to deliver you out of it. As if it's an adverse thing, we just need to know that God is still in control. He's still on the throne. Amen. But the Bible let us know all things work together for our good. If, you know, paraphrasing, we are pursuing this costly salvation. If we are pursuing this costly salvation, in other words, we are trying to live holy as God is holy, then God is going to deliver us out of everything so we can continue to glorify Him in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Lastly, let me say this. Amen. Glory to God. Holy living, it reflects an eternal perspective or outlook. See, we have to look beyond today, and we have to see that, listen, I'm living for that day. I'm living because one day you and I are going to stand before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings and give account for what we've done with this salvation that's been made freely available to us. Amen. So what happened is when we have an eternal outlook, our understanding, amen, understanding that our lives in this earth is only temporarily, and also that we're living in preparation to go to stand before the Father, or living in preparation to go to heaven. Amen. So what happened is Colossians tells us in the 3rd chapter and the 2nd verse, amen, I'm not going to read it, but paraphrasing what he did, he tells us that we are to put our mind on things above. He says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Yes, we do need to do what we need to do in order to maintain a proper life here on earth and to allow God to meet our needs on earth. However, our focus is not being the best we can be on earth as much as it is being the best we can be in Christ for our eternal home. Hallelujah. So embracing holiness is a way of aligning our daily life with God's eternal purpose. Amen. What happens is it paints a picture of the cost of salvation. So holy living gives us paint a picture of holy living. Amen. Hallelujah. And it paint a picture of the cost of salvation. And it paint a picture that demands that we live every day in anticipation of eternity. Amen. Marked by our love for the Lord and our love for mankind. Amen. It will be marked by a life of purity, a life of integrity. Amen. And that will be marked by how we obey God in serving Him and His body and those around us. Hallelujah. So when we look at that, amen, we will see that there is a salvation that doesn't cost you nothing to receive, but it costs you everything to maintain. Hallelujah. And then there's a salvation that doesn't cost you nothing to receive, amen, and don't cost you nothing to maintain it, and that's that cheap salvation. Hallelujah. So ultimately, holy living, it will showcase the true cost of salvation by a transformed life of devotion and an unwavering commitment, amen, to follow Christ. We don't be up and down. The Bible said, let not a wavering man expect anything of the Lord. So our relationship with God will never be wavering. It will never be up and down. It will be consistent. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It will be ongoing, devoted. Hallelujah. So while salvation, as I said, is a free gift of grace, it comes with a call to live in a way that honors God and reflect His holiness. So we get salvation, but we get salvation and God put His Holy Spirit in us. And then He say, be ye holy for I am holy. In other words, He put His Holy Spirit in us so that we can live the life that He desired that we would live. So the path to living out our salvation is one marked by both grace and struggle. There will be challenges. See, while salvation itself is a free gift, maintaining that salvation and fulfilling God's call to live holy requires our active participation. Amen. And investment. See, the contrast between costly salvation and cheap salvation, it underlines the seriousness of our discipleship in Christ. So what we want to do, we want to pursue a life that we want to live out our life in such a way that it shows that we are fully committed. Amen. That we have our faith in Jesus Christ and we have embraced the costly salvation. Hallelujah. That glory to God that God has extended to us. He extended grace to us and we embrace this grace and we also embrace a life, amen, to show that we are appreciative of the grace. God said that the word said that we are saved by grace. Hallelujah. And so when we accept this salvation, glory to God, we want to live out or pursue a life that shows that we are appreciative of his grace towards us. Hallelujah. And so we are thankful that God genuinely extended his salvation to us. And so while we understand that, what happens is we will uphold that grace and demand a life. So God, first of all, he extended this grace to us. And because of that, we want to pursue a life that show our appreciation for this grace that has been extended to us. Hallelujah. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what happened is we understand that upholding this grace demands a life of commitment, or showing a continual appreciation for this grace demands a life of commitment, sacrifice, and a pursuit of holiness at all times in our life. So may God bless you, that you reject that cheap salvation and that you press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ and only want the best. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus says, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, nevertheless, hallelujah, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. And so that's what we have to do. We don't want the less of salvation, the cheap salvation. We want God's will when it comes to salvation in our life. May God bless you, richly bless you. Amen.